जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद् अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस ऑल गुरुस ऑल गुरुस श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वा वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text number 34. Bharavataranannye Bhuvo nava ivo dhado भुवो नावा इवो ददौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण सीद्यन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता भारावतारनान्यान्ये भुवो नावा इवो ददौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता भारावतारनान्यान्ये भुवो नावा इवो ददौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता नातान्ये भुवो नावा इवो ददौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता भारावतारनान्यन्ये भुवो नावा इदो ददौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता नवतरणान्यन्ये भुवो नावा इवो ददौ सीद्यन्ता भूरिभारेण जातो हि आत्मभुवार्तिता विष्णुविस् भार अवतारनाय जस्ट टू रिड्यूस द बर्डन टू द वर्ल्ड अन्ये अदर्स भुवा ऑफ द वर्ल्ड नाव बोट इव लाइक उदधौ ऑन द सी सी दंत्या अग्रीव्ड Bhuri, extremely, Bharena, by the burden, Jataha, you are born, He, certainly, Atma Bhuva, by Brahma, Artita, being prayed for. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Purport. Brahma, or the first living being born just after the creation, is the direct son of Narayana. Narayana, as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, first of all entered the material universe. Without spiritual contact, matter cannot create. This principle was followed from the very beginning of the creation. The Supreme Spirit entered the universe, and the first living being, Brahma, was born on a lotus flower, grown out of the transcendental abdomen of Vishnu. Vishnu is therefore known as Padmanabha. Brahma is known as Atmabhu because he was begotten directly from the father without any contact of Mother Lakshmiji. Lakshmiji was present near Narayan, engaged in the service of the Lord, and still without contact with Lakshmiji, Narayana begot Brahma. That is the omnipotency of the Lord. One who foolishly considers Narayan like other living beings should take a lesson from this. Narayana is not an ordinary living being. He is the personality of Godhead himself, and he has all the potencies of all the senses in all parts of his transcendental body. An ordinary living being begets a child by sexual intercourse, and he has no other means to beget a child other than one designed for him. But Narayan, being omnipotent, is not bound to any condition of energy. He is complete and independent to do anything and everything by his various potencies very easily and perfectly. Brahma is therefore directly the son of the father and was not put into the womb of a mother. Therefore, he is known as Atmabhu. This Brahma is in charge of further creations in the universe, secondarily reflected by the potency of the omnipotent. Within the halo of the universe, there is a transcendental planet known as Shweta Deep, which is the abode of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord. Whenever there is trouble in the universe that cannot be solved by the administrative demigods, they approach Brahmaji for a solution. And if it is not to be solved even by Brahmaji, then Brahmaji consults and prays to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu for an incarnation and solution to the problems. Such a problem arose when Kamsa and others were ruling over the earth, and the earth became too much overburdened by the misdeeds of the Asuras. Brahmaji, along with other demigods, prayed at the shore of Kshirodakshaya ocean, and they were advised of the descent of Krishna as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Some people say that the Lord appeared because of the prayers of Brahmaji. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Pasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। भारावतारण्ये भुवो नाव इवो दधो सीदंत्या भूरि भारेण जातोई आत्म भुवार्थित। Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all devotees who have assembled today for the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and also all the devotees that are watching this online. Seek all of your blessings that I can glorify the Supreme Lord for my own purification and for the pleasure of the devotees. Today being Makara Sankranti, is the day when the sun takes the U-turn. That the sun is going towards the southern direction during the Dakshinayana, and it is today that the sun starts to take the U-turn, go back to the north, and from today onwards it's considered as the period of Uttarayana. There are two semesters in the Vedic calendar, Uttarayana and Dakshinayana, and all auspicious festivals are considered to be when the sun is going towards the northern direction. So you basically take help of the universal wind, the universal energy that is going upwards for your own betterment. Therefore, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that the yogis, they wait for the sun to go towards the northern direction, and then they leave their body. Even Bhishmadev, he waited till the sun was going towards the northern direction. It's just like, when you are going somewhere and you try to find out which is the easiest, less friction that is possible. So if you are going against the wind, so if sun and all the devatas are going towards the northern direction, which is considered to be the Mukti Dwar, and the southern direction is considered as the Yama Dwar, and therefore going towards explaining that during the Dakshinayana period, there is a Pitru Paksha where we offer respects to the Pitris, because the most of the favorable circumstance for our prayers to go towards the Pitris is towards the Dakshinayana. And for us to go towards up, this is a favorable period. But interesting thing is that it's not that suddenly the sun takes U-turn and he starts to proceed. It takes quite a while because of the momentum, because of the speed in which the sun is moving. Pavaneshapu or others may have more details, but it takes around 1 month period till Ratha Saptami that the sun actually turns. And all of us in our spirit, in our journeys, when we came in touch with devotees, we also have chosen to turn towards the north, towards the Mukti Dwar instead of the Yama Dwar. And if sun takes that a month, then we shouldn't be disappointed that why is it taking so much time for us to turn towards Krishna. Because sometimes devotees may either become very restless to want to go, or they may become hopeless. Kuch fayda hi nahi try karke. But let me just go along with the wind of my karmic influences. So we hope and pray that we all take help of the universal direction, the sun in which he is taking, and also pray to sun god that he blesses us. Many devotees today, it's a great tradition in the plains of Ganga that everyone goes to take bath in the Ganga. Today is Ganga Sagar Mela also. Yesterday I met someone from Bihar, and he was telling that on the day of Makar Sankranti, everyone in those regions has to take bath before sunrise. And that too, cold water. If Ganga is not available, then you have to take bore water. Even in Bombay, when you do that, they try to take bore water or water under the ground and take bath before the sunrise, at least on this day. And if someone doesn't do in their family, then they are not given prasad that day. That they have to fast as a punishment. Fortunately, we have Banganga close by. So some may go there or is already gone. So this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most celebrated parts of Bhagavatam, where the heart of someone who is not so much in the forefront is being revealed. And Krishna likes to do this. We have the famous series, I think, in our RG media called as Chupa Rustum. That someone who is silently serving and having great influence, but not much known to the world, not much known in the among the devotee circle. So then there is special focus by the team to record their silent services. We have many devotees. Sunanda Prabhu is there, or many devotees that, you know, silently Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, but are silently, very devotionally. Recently, Mataji that passed away. Sharad Biharini Mataji, when we all heard her glories, so we were all like overwhelmed that what is the mood in which these devotees have served. So Queen Kunti is one such devotee who is otherwise may not be seen apart from giving birth to, you know, the five Pandavas. We don't see her being much in the forefront. But here in the here in this section, we see her heart which is filled with devotion, and how she is pouring her heart to Krishna. And usually there are, in any kind of prayers, we know there is glorification of the Lord, sampradhanatmika, then there is dhanya bodhika, that our fallen condition, and then there is lalasame, that you request for some kind of boon, some kind of benediction. And of course, these verses also fall in that category. But the response of Lord Krishna after the prayers is quite surprising. All he does, he just gives a smile. The verse says, the Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. So there is nothing like something majestic or magical that happened immediately after the prayers of Mother Queen Kunti. And Krishna just gave a manda hasa, just gave a small little smile to Queen Kunti. And she was fully overwhelmed and satisfied with that smile of Krishna. And of course, that smile of Krishna, if Sukadeva Goswami is glorifying it, that smile of Krishna is much more enchanting than all the opulences, all the attractive things that are there in this world. And a devotee, he just offers his heart. And one devotee was sharing that if you see prayers of Queen Kunti, they are prayers of gratitude. So, in one sense, she is looking back into her life. She is not having any kind of aspiration for further. She is looking back into her life, and all that she is filled with is gratitude. Although so much has happened in her life, all that remains with her is to thank Krishna. So therefore it is said that when you look back, you should be able to thank Krishna for what he has given you, what he has given us. Some years back when I had gone home, my mother told me a small little incident that happened when I was 1 year old. Children, they do all kinds of things that not supposed to do. Previously in India, there used to be this wax removal, these kinds of pins. You all would have seen there are 3-4 types of pins to remove the wax. So suddenly one day, that was missing in the home. And everyone was wondering, where did it go? And I don't remember now, I was 1 year only. So I had swallowed that. I had eaten that. Only next day when I passed Nature's Call, among the excreta was that needle kind of things that came out of my body without harming from my mouth till my end. And when I heard from my mother, I said that मैं तभी मर जाना चाहिए था, because practically there is no chance for something so sharp to not affect any part of the body and come out. So things like that might have not happened specifically with you, but I kind of recollect that after that 1 year of my coming, everything else is Krishna's grace, Krishna's bonus, that he has given me extra life. And practically in childhood, what all kinds of things we end up doing or we may get into trouble. And even in, but as we start to grow in our life, many times we are filled with lot of grudge, lot of grief. That grief that things didn't happen, or grudge that why this person did that. But if you are able to have this kind of mindset that Queen Kunti has, that when she is looking back, she is just thanking Krishna. Apparently, Vishan Mahagni, that verse, apparently Krishna was not even present physically there. Krishna only came into Pandava's life, into Kunti's life actively, start when Draupadi's marriage, Krishna, Arjuna and all of them as Brahmanas, they had gone. That was the first time Krishna interacted with the Pandavas. Before that, Krishna, we don't see any episodes of, even in Mahabharata or in Bhagavatam, Krishna actively interacting with the Pandavas. And Vishan Mahagni, that house of lack, fire, that happened before that. The Vishan, the cake, happened in the childhood. But Kunti is directly thanking Krishna for the indirect help that she got. Krishna, of course, it was Krishna's devotees like Vidura, Bhishma, or Krishna's desire that protected the Pandavas all through. And Kunti is able to see that indirect help also and thanking Krishna directly and wholeheartedly. So when we look back, we should thank Krishna like Kunti. And when we look ahead, the future, what's going to happen? There is so much, like Arjuna, when he looked ahead in that middle of the battlefield, very symbolic that, you know, Arjuna fell into crisis in the middle of the battlefield. Just like midlife crisis. Only after we get into something, we start to wonder whether what I am doing is right. And so, instead of being filled with uncertainty, when we look ahead, we should trust Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad didn't know how his father is going to kill him next, or what is going to happen if he drinks the poison, if he goes under the elephant's legs, or when he's thrown into the fire. He just trusted Krishna. And if you don't have that trust that in future Krishna will protect me, sometimes, no, even in the ashram there is that fear, main jo budha ho jaunga kon dekhega mujhe, that what will happen when I get old. If I have a family, at least my son or daughter, they will take care of me. Of course, many times it's not so. People have big disappointments in any sphere of life. But our trust is in, say, some family or some money or our reputation as a preacher or skillful services. But our future is secure when we trust Krishna, that Krishna is going to take care of me. So when we look back, we should thank Krishna like Kunti. And when we look ahead, we should trust Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj. And when we look within, we should be like Dhruva Maharaj to find Krishna. That Dhruva, he had sthana bilashi tapasi sitoham, that he wanted this sthana, the big position bigger than his great grandfather Brahma. But when he was told that find Krishna within first, then external things will eventually happen, will eventually come by that. So we should take inspiration from Dhruva, that when we look within, don't get overwhelmed by all the dirt that is there. There was a famous gold miner. He was asked that, what is the secret of your, so much earning? He says that most people get disappointed by seeing all the dirt that comes out when they dig. But I don't see the dirt. I try to see the gold that is also there. Same way in our heart, there is so much dirt. But beneath all that dirt, there is that pure desire to serve Krishna. And Krishna is there in the heart. So we may not find gold in the heart, but we'll definitely find God. And of course, Mahaprabhu is the golden avatar. We should try to find him in our hearts. So when we look within, try to find Krishna like Dhruva Maharaj and not be overwhelmed or justify yourself that I have filled with so many anarthas. That keep digging, keep uprooting. And just like our hair keep growing, our anarthas also keep growing. Therefore, every day we need to shave them off. We need to chant sincerely so that the anarthas are removed more and more, so that we are able to find Krishna like Dhruva. And then when we look around this world, we have to see everything as potential to have, to be in Krishna's service. Therefore, said, when we look around, serve Krishna like Ambarish Maharaj. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnani. Karo Harer Mandira Marjana. So, whatever around he saw, and anybody who is into deity worship, they know that once they are into deity worship or have deities at home or in some center, then wherever they go, they try to find the best dress, the best offering the best situation for serving the deities. So when we look around, we should be like Ambarish Maharaj to want to serve Krishna. How can I serve Krishna better with all the things that God has given me? And if we have these four, then our looks are best. That look back to thank Krishna, look ahead to trust Krishna, look within to find Krishna, and look around to serve Krishna, not to enjoy. And Srila Prabhupada, he also gave great prominence to the prayers of Queen Kunti. And it's amazing that how much faith and shelter that Prabhupada took in these particular prayers. The total number of prayers of Queen Kunti, how many? 26 prayers. We should replace with our alphabets to these prayers, because then our vibhakti may not be proper, but our bhakti is these 26 prayers. And particularly this 32 to 35 is where the Lord comes. His Grace Brahmananda Prabhu, he had written a back-to-order BTG article way back in 2014, in which he kind of lists down the different instances in which Prabhupada very evidently took shelter of Queen Kunti's prayers. So the first instance is in New York. Prabhupada had arrived in United States in August of 1965. And he stayed there for 2-3 months. And during the winter of 65, he came to New York, Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. And he was given, he couldn't stay at Dr. Mishra's apartment. He was, because it was a studio means just one room. So in West, when they say the studio apartment, it means a one room in which, like something like say Nagpada or in Worli, some or the small little places, or here in JK Towers, where there is only one room in which the kitchen is there, where there is a bathroom is there, the bedroom, everything is just one room. That is, in Western the world, it's called as a studio. I'm living in a studio. It just means it's one room. You are living in one room where everything is there. So Dr. Mishra's apartment was a studio. It was not much big, that big. So Prabhupada was also given another studio to stay. And the distance between these two studios was around 7 blocks. So 7 blocks is around half a kilometer. Half a kilometer off. And in the winters of 65, first time Prabhupada is going there, every day he had to walk to Dr. Mishra's studio. Not just once, but many times, because the place where Prabhupada was given to stay, there was no bathroom there. And there was no kitchen. It was just an office space that somebody gave. So and in winter, an old man, not having, I guess Prabhupada also had some kind of frequently going to nature's call. So he was stationed there and he had to walk every time. And in that particular place, somebody had given Prabhupada tape recorder. And one particular day, there was a blackout. And blackout is power failure, which is common here. Of course, now uncommon even in Mumbai. But then it was a big crisis there. So everybody was going berserk and Prabhupada didn't know what was there. He was just chanting. Somebody came to check if Prabhupada was okay and said, doesn't mind, I'm just chanting. And during one of those instances when somebody gave the tape recorder and there was no one. And we all have this very strong experience in the last 2 years where you have to speak to a monitor or a laptop or a web camera, where apparently in the room there is no one, but you have to speak the class. And most of us, you know, don't find it as interesting or, you know, encouraging as we sit in front of devotees to speak. But Prabhupada, way back in 1965, in that winter, the first Zoom class happened, or maybe the clubhouse, where there was only audio. Prabhupada himself, he just switched it on. Nobody even pushed him. And he chanted, I think Purushottam Prabhu mentioned about this, that he chanted the whole prayers of Queen Kunti. And the struggle that Prabhupada was going through, he could very much relate, because he was very comfortably situated in Vrindavan. Now he came here. And the struggles that he was going through, especially for 2-3 times to go to yoga Dr. Mishra's studio in that chilling winter breezes. Because especially the lower east side, it is just next to a river, the Hudson River. So constantly there is breeze that is coming in that place. So the chilling breezes Prabhupada was tolerating for all of us to give these prayers of Queen Kunti. So this was the first instance. Then in 66, when they had taken the 22nd Avenue, the place, they had rented that little back, and on May 31st, which is in US called as Memorial Day, which is a long weekend, Prabhupada was, all these prisoners were coming, these foreign devotees, and they were all taking service. Prabhupada was cooking for them, feeding them, and they were all taking so much service that Prabhupada was so exhausted that he had a stroke on the Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is, by the way, in remembrance of all those soldiers that sacrificed for the nation. And for that, there is a Memorial Day. And Prabhupada, on that day, he had the stroke in 1967. And because it was a Memorial Day, there was no doctors available. Everybody was on vacation. And Prabhupada was going into paralysis, spasms. And that time, he requested devotees to for three things. Firstly, he said, place next to me Narasimha Dev's picture. There was a freshly painted picture of Narasimha Dev. And he asked all the devotees, New York and San Francisco, to chant Hare Krishna Kirtan. And then he asked Brahmananda Prabhu to read the prayers of Queen Kunti to him in that paralyzed kind of situation. What he wanted to hear was about Queen Kunti's prayers. And Brahmananda writes in that article that he was not so expert in reciting Sanskrit. And that too, in that olden Bhagavatams, the division the way we have, like we all experience today, the first line is really a bit difficult to recite, like a tongue twister, because it's not broken up. So he was having hard time to recite Queen Kunti's prayers, but still Prabhupada was hearing attentively and getting sheltered from hearing. So this is the second episode. One was all by himself recording. Second was in that state of paralysis or heart attack. He wanted to hear Queen Kunti's prayers. Then in August of 1974, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, there was the Janmashtami celebration that happened. And also on that day, there were the initiations. And after the initiations, next day is Vyasa Puja. And after Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada immediately fell severely sick. And is like the spiritual master takes the karma of the disciples. And so Prabhupada was so sick, such high fever, that his temperature was 105. Now 104 itself is very high, and he was having 105 fever. And in that instance, Prabhupada again asked for those three things: that please place the Narasimhadev's picture next to me. And by then there were so many centers all over the world. 1974, he said everybody to chant Hare Krishna, and himself he wanted to hear Queen Kunti's prayers. Again, Brahmananda Prabhu was there, and this time there was our Pradyumna Prabhu, who is a Sanskrit scholar. So he came and he recited the prayers and the translations, and not just it was not just the verses. The verses, the translations and the purport, Prabhupada was hearing them all. And once he got well, after that period, he wrote a letter to all his disciples, thanking them. And he said that, I thank you for your concern for my well-being. Actually, I was very ill. I was falling down. But by your prayers, Krishna has kindly made me recover. Because you have prayed to Krishna, therefore I have recovered. Just like Srimati Kunti Devi, when there was difficulty, she prayed to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that when there is difficulty, I shall forget Krishna. We all know that once there is some backache or any kind of trouble, then more focus is here. And even if you go to Krishna to pray, it is about whatever trouble we have. But Prabhupada is saying, when there is difficulty, I shall not forget Krishna. Whatever material condition may be, we should just cling to Krishna's lotus feet. So there is a fourth instance. So one was, as I think Brajvihari Prabhu says, Prabhupada was tested twice. Once when he had nothing, like in that studio apartment where he didn't even have a toilet for his proper use. At that time, he took shelter of Kunti's prayers. And in 1974, by then, the whole movement was so big. And when he fell sick, again he took shelter of, when he had everything, he again took shelter of Queen Kunti's prayers. And the last instance of, is in 1973, where Prabhupada was giving lectures in New York and in Los Angeles about the prayers of Queen Kunti. And Pancharatna Prabhu, he recalls that he had just got a video recorder and he wanted to record Prabhupada speaking. And he was allowed. And then, recording doesn't come just like there is something small. At least, those times. So Prabhupada was sitting, the Vyasasan, just in front of him, the camera was there. And there were two, three big lights next to Prabhupada. And devotees were all angry and Pancharatna Prabhu. That we don't have, already there was no space. And even Prabhupada apparently wasn't happy with the setup. But he didn't say anything. We allowed the recording to happen. And that is the only very few class recordings in those olden times. Later there is color recordings. But Pancharatna Prabhu, he did. And funnily, Pancharatna Prabhu later told Brahmananda Prabhu, those recordings, the tapes cannot be just inserted into any kind of player to watch. They can only be used by some cinematographers, and high-end devices can only be used. And I didn't have those devices. All I had was these tapes. But I took that as an excuse to just to be close to Prabhupada. That right in his face, because his expressions were very nice. And I wanted to be nice, close to Prabhupada. But whatever was the reason, those lectures were recorded. The Prabhupada's prayers to Queen Kunti. I was very moved when I heard those two instances where Prabhupada was so sick, but he was taking shelter of Queen Kunti's prayers. And we hope and pray that, we also take shelter of these amazing prayers that Mother Kunti is offering. And herein she is saying, one of the reasons why Krishna comes is to remove the burden of Mother Earth on the request of
Brahmaji.
So Mother Earth is Krishna's wife and Brahmaji is Krishna's son. So to remove the burden of the son of Mother Earth, Krishna comes. And Acharya say that when Bhara Avataranaya, to help with the burden, and if Krishna comes, doesn't the burden increase? Because when Krishna comes, Govardhan comes, Yamuna comes, all the associates come. It's apparently the burden should increase. But Krishna, when he comes, apparently he increases the burden, but ultimately he removes the burden. The story is told that when the Pandavas and Draupadi had this Akshay Patra, Durvasa Muni came to ask for prasadam, food, and he said, go and take bath and come. We will by then provide. But they were all in anxiety, how do we provide? And they were also sad that, why did we eat? Especially Draupadi was thinking, why did I eat? Because if I had not eaten, I could have produced more prasadam for them. And as the Pandavas and Draupadi was in anxiety, Krishna comes there and he says, I am hungry. So already devotees are not being fed, so they are anxious. And Krishna comes and increases the anxiety of Pandavas by saying, I am also hungry, please feed me. So they go even more down in their spirits, that yellow. Abhi Bhagwan bhi aage, aur unko bhi hum kuch de nahi pa rahe. We are also not able to give anything. And then Krishna said, no, look for something there. And when he took that small little grain, then he was satisfied. And then the anxiety was removed. So when Krishna has to remove the anxiety, he also gives the anxiety of him coming into our life. Which we have to allow Krishna to do that. And if you don't allow that anxiety of taking Krishna into our life, Radhananda Maharaj always says this, that when Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, when we saw the beautiful worship of the deities, and he said that you're all worshipping the deities so nicely, and if you all don't come together to hear and chant, there is the Pancharatra Vidhi of worshipping the deities, and then there is the Bhagavat Vidhi of hearing and chanting. So if you don't do the Bhagavad Vidhi properly, you know, in Pancharatra Vidhi apparently, no, you experience some kind of, no, little achievement, I address Krishna or something. But in chanting or hearing, are ek ghanta gaya, do ghanta gaya. So in Bhagavad Vidhi, there is apparently no accomplishment that is seen in the external sense. So Prabhupada said that, you know, if you don't focus also on the Bhagavad Vidhi, then very soon the Archa Vigraha that you are worshipping, you will say that why did our spiritual master give us this burden of worshipping these deities? The Archa Vigraha will become Galagraha. So if you don't take that anxiety of hearing and chanting, taking the trouble, Devanand Maharaj says that devotees work very hard in so many departments except the department of hearing and chanting. Any other department, there is enthusiasm. But in hearing and chanting, we somehow are like a ho gaya. So that bhara has to be removed, has to be allowed, so that Krishna will ultimately take away the burden. Another understanding that is beautifully given is about that Krishna is feeling so much compassion in his heart and he is becoming burdened by that compassion. Bhara. And he has to come and share that compassion, help the devotees, share that love. He said in that verse, CC, that I have so many fruits. How much can I distribute? Please help me distribute. So Krishna feels the burden to help and deliver the fallen souls. And we have to assist Krishna and not become a burden ourselves. So therefore, so we pray that, no, we don't remain a burden. And Prabhupada mentions that there are four things that become the burden to earth. One is the atheists, those who don't believe in Krishna, God. Another is the demons, those who want to kill Krishna. And another is Varna Sankara. Those whose Varna is so corrupted because of no proper Varnashram, that they are not following their nature. They are trying to artificially be situated in some kind of situation. That also causes burden to Mother Earth. So when the children are not happy in their life, that also creates burden to parents. So Prabhupada explains that these three create burden on the planet. Atheists, Varna Sankaras and demons. And Krishna comes to remove these three burdens. To the atheists by convincing them, giving them. To the demons by destroying them. And to the Varna Sankara by engaging them in proper Chaturvarnyam Maya Shishtam. And last point which I will share. Here the example of boat is being given. That the boat is being overloaded. And the reason is because when the boat is drowning, you cannot wait. Abhi time nahi hai, baad mein aunga. So same way, the situation in which Brahmaji went to request is that if you don't come and help now, the boat is going to sink. And the boat is sinking because of all the unnecessary burden that people have carried. That story in Manasi Ganga of Krishna being a boatman and telling all the gopis that the boat is sinking because you are carrying a lot of extra things. Remove all that. Bhara avataranaya. Remove all that burden and they, they remove the ornaments, then the garlands, then ultimately clothes, then they catch Krishna that this is nothing, something fishy here. But the story also has this lesson that our boat is sinking because we are carrying all the unnecessary burden of the past. Instead of thanking Krishna, we are carrying it as a burden of grief, burden of grudge. And we have to not let that burden bog us down. Because the more heavy we are, the less is our pace. The more light we are, the easier it is to travel. So with this I'll stop. There's so many beautiful points mentioned in the purports and the Acharya's commentary. Jai. Prantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.